any other message in my lifetime as a preacher. So if you got it down as a date that I preached it before, put another date there and say he did it again. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to give you two things real quick. The song that she just sang, I promised. Worship comes from God's promised word. Amen? I'm going to give you two quick doctrinal things about worship and spirit, okay? Worship, the first time it's mentioned, there's a doctrine of first mentions in the Bible. The first time worship is mentioned is when Abraham was taking his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah to offer him up. And then in Hebrews it said he believed God's word that he was going to bless him and give him the descendants like the sands of the sea and or the stars in the sky. So what he did is when he was in the situation where God was asking him or trying his faith and saying that your son is going to be offered up, he believed, listen, I'm preaching to you, he believed in God's word and promise over his current situation. Some of y'all need to learn how to worship because you've got a promise from God. See, I got a promise from God. I'm going to heaven. One day, when I draw my last breath, I will not be on this earth. I will be in heaven. You can go by the box, or you can go by the place where my demise is and say, that's where it happened, and that's where he is, but it'll be a lie because where I'll be is where my Father is, my Savior is. My spirit will be with his spirit. Praise God. And guess what? There ain't nothing can get me down if I don't want it to get me down. I can get depressed. I can have some anxiety. I can have some fear. I can be angry. I can be mad. But if I make up my mind to worship, praise God, I can go, this is only a temporary situation. I'm going somewhere. Praise God. Man, I'm going to preach to y'all today. I hope you didn't hurry up, get here thinking you were going somewhere quick, because we're not. You might want to look down at your watch right now and make a reference and go, okay, it is 11:33. Praise God, because I don't know when we're going to stop. The next one is your spirit. I want to tell you this, and it's an absolute spiritual doctrine. This is a doctrine. This is God's word. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, but so the problem with that is, if God is a spirit, that means a spirit has no beginning and has no end and will not die. So when God breathed a spirit in you, that spirit has to, I'm going to say it, has to live somewhere for eternity. The great thing about that is you get an opportunity to choose where you're going to spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And guess what? Here you are. I don't know how you made it, but you did. Here you are sitting in this place. Amen? And I'm glad you're here. Some of y'all are sitting here going, I don't know what I got signed up for. I don't know how I got here. I just thought I'd come. So guess what? Buckle up, sweetheart. You're in the church. Amen? I hope you get to make a decision before you leave of where you're going to spend eternity. And if you've already made that decision, I hope by the end of this service, you're one of these people who walk out of here going, I'm going to change the world one soul at a time. Because you know what we need in 2021? We don't need people that are saved or going to heaven by themselves. I love the old song that says, when the saints go marching in. Well, praise God, how many of them saints you're going to take with you? Amen? If you're the only one walking in, you know what? Your life was not well spent. Y'all ready? Did you find Mark chapter 2? If you didn't, the altar's open for you. Amen? You could have went to the table of contents by now. All right. Oh, man, I'm ready. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. This, a lot of people believe, scholars believe, this is Peter's house. This is the house of headquarters down in Capernaum. Amen? This is the place where God had a little headquarters. He's not in Israel. He's not down in there in Samaria. He's got that place in between. Oh, good Lord. He's got that little place in between. He'd go in there and he would teach and preach and relax. But somehow, some way, somebody found out. Amen? Somebody found out that Jesus. Now, don't get all spiritual with me. I've said this over the years. I'll say something. You know, Jesus was there today. Boy, Jesus was passing by today. Jesus told me this morning when I came, he said, Kevin, it don't matter what bad attitude, don't matter what people came with, praise God, I'm doing something today. So guess what? Sometimes Jesus gets in the house and he stirs up no matter what you think or what you do. Amen. Some spiritual people come to me and say, oh, Jesus is always here. I get that. But we don't always let him show out. Amen. We don't always let him do what he wants to do. Amen. But this morning he is. But guess what? Somebody told they couldn't keep it a secret. I've always said this. If God is in you or God's in your place, you can't keep it a secret. Hey man, you can't. If you can keep Jesus a secret, you better check up and see if he's even there. Amen? Because what I got is on the inside is bigger than what is on the outside. Hey, I remember the little girl. She went to revival. She's about 5 or 6 years old and got saved, born again. Hallelujah. Came home and they said, "Oh my gosh, Mama, I got saved." And her mom or daddy said, "Well, you got Jesus in you." And she kind of looked and was kind of scared. She goes, "Well, how in the world does Jesus got to get on the inside of him? Why ain't he sticking out? Because surely Jesus is bigger than me." So let me tell you something. If Jesus got in you, he should be sticking out because he's bigger than you. Amen? He's bigger than you. He's a secret you can't keep. I love when Jesus used to heal people and save people and cast out devils. He would tell them, "Now don't go tell nobody." Good Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you was blind and you could see, you ain't gotta really let the cat out of the bag. You could just go, "Let me guess what color that shirt is. I think it's gray." "Well, you couldn't have done it before." "Oh, yeah. Guess what? I wasn't walking yesterday, but watch this." Right? If he didn't have, he had a withered hand the day before, he'd go, "Guess what? I met a man." Right? There's a woman at the well who came down there. Guess what? She just got her life right with Jesus. Went down to Samaria. Somebody said, "What are you doing down here? Ain't you supposed to be up at the well at those off hours?" She goes, "Yeah, I went on off hours and Jesus was there." Never mind. Y'all get that later. I went when nobody else would go. I went because I wanted to be alone. I went because my life had got me in a spot where it was just me and me. But guess what? Jesus sat down and waited on me. Aren't you glad that Jesus sits down and waits on you in the places where nobody else will, in the dry, arid places where it don't seem like nobody cares or nobody loves you? There happened to be that day a Jewish man by the name of Jesus sitting on the well. I'm glad he sat on the well of my life. Aren't you glad he sat on the well of your life? I'm going to preach every message I know. You just might as well stick around. Guess what? Praise God. The well of their life meant, guess what? Whatever you were getting, whatever you were thirsty for, and whatever was meeting your need, Jesus sat on top of that and said, "I'm greater than." Woo! I'm greater than whatever you're thirsty for. I'm greater than whatever you're drinking, whatever well you're drinking from. I'm greater than. Give me a try. Boy, and she did. Have you ever gave Jesus a try? Not a half-hearted try. Not a church try. Not I got dressed up and went try. I'm talking about a Jesus on the inside try. I'm talking about he's for real. Because if you really get him, you ain't going to keep him no secret. I'm going to be honest with you. I got the real deal. August 28th of 04, I got that. Boom, I've got that life. I've got that charge. Amen. I used to tell people I got saved when I was 13. I had a profession, no possession. And I mean this, Jesus, I would talk about him when I had to or where I could. But when Jesus got in and got on board, I couldn't help it. Amen. I'll be standing somewhere and all of a sudden Jesus will jump in and say, "You need to say something. You need to say something. You need to say something. This person right here needs me. Amen. They need me. They need me more than you need me right now because you need to let it out." Amen. I love that Jesus is in the house. Could you imagine what that sounds like? I'm sorry if this hurt your feelings. He's here! He's here! Man, I love that. What's this right here? Some of y'all are going like, "Man, I wish I'd turn my hearing aids down before I came." "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them." Jesus was on foot preaching in Mark Chapter 2, and nobody took notes. Amen? Don't that blow you away? I mean, it looks like somebody, Mark, would have went like, "Hey, man, and this is the title of the sermon at least. These are a couple of things that Jesus said when he was in Capernaum preaching." I mean, this is like, man, this is bigger than Billy Graham on a crusade. Maybe we should jot something down. But you know what I like about Mark? Mark is called the oxen or the beast of burden gospel. It's more about action than it is words. Some of y'all need to hear this right here. Some of y'all need some more actions and less words. You're sweet on the message. I'm sorry if I threw that like New Age terminology on you. You're good with the message. It's the walk and the talk and the action that's missing. You can tell people
little words and little phrases. And my pastor said, and this preacher did, and he came and he said, and this evangelist said, and my old pastor said. But guess what? When Jesus gets in you, it's a walking, talking, breathing message. The Bible says it this way, I think, Gene. It says we are written epistles. Amen. We are the message. We are the written word. Man, we're supposed to walk it out in front of people. People are supposed to be going like this. Wait a minute, they're acting different. They seem like they got joy, happiness, peace, forgiveness, love. What's the story? Why do you have all that? Because there was a man who loved me when I was unlovable. There was a man who touched me when I was untouchable. There was a man who came for me when nobody else could come. Is there anybody in this room who God come and got you when nobody else would? Amen. I'm preaching to y'all like I don't even know who you are. And that's a good thing. Some of y'all going, what happened to our preacher? You know what? I'm going to tell you what happened. I thought about it this morning. I go to revivals. I go to places all over this country. And people will sit there and they'll listen to every word. But sometimes in your own place, people go, huh. And I said, you know what? I'm going to preach them like revival today. I'm just going to preach them like revival. So guess what? All of a sudden, Jesus is in the house, and he's in there preaching. And guess what? Somebody got word of it. Four guys got word of it. Watch this. And there wasn't no room. They was packed in there. Verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. He was born of four. These four guys. These four gals. Amen. These four guys got together. Went to their friend's house. Who was paralyzed, but he's worse than paralyzed. He had the palsy. Can we talk about palsy? Let's talk about palsy. I get kind of caught up sometimes. I preach this so many times, I don't talk about the disease. The disease made him paralyzed. Amen? Let me explain it this way. We're all spiritually paralyzed before we get saved. But paralyzed and palsy are two different things, because every once in a while, he would catch a situation where his body would do convulsions and things without his control. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. See, when I was lost and paralyzed in my sin, I also every once in a while uncontrollably would do some things that I didn't want to do, but I'd done them anyway, and I was out of control. God, y'all are so cool. When I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about looking at some of y'all, and I was thinking, man, when you look at them at church, you'd never think that the stuff they struggle with, that they struggle with. Amen? I mean, you look at some people and they come across as sweet, nice, and perfect, and beautiful, and strong, and healthy, and they got a just total perception out there. But if you would listen to their story, and if they would tell it, they would tell you about a place that they would do things that they didn't want to do, think things that they didn't want to think. Say things they didn't want to say. Go places in their heart and their mind. Go places with their feet and their hands and their mouth. Am I preaching to the right people? Some of y'all are looking at me like, man, I ain't never done that. You're crazy. Everybody in here has something. I don't care how you clean up now. I don't care what the package looks like. Amen? We have all sinned to come short of the glory of God. The devil had something in you and on you that ruined you. That's what brought you to Christ. If not, you ain't in Christ. Them four guys, they went to, could you imagine if there was a mama in there? Were you taking my boy? We're taking him to see Jesus. Amen? Well, I don't know if today's a good day. Today is a perfect day. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day that Jesus is in Capernaum, and we're pretty close, and we'll get there walking if we go now, but we've got to go. But I don't think, what happens if my boy, you don't take care of him? What if you drop him on the way? What if one of you changes your mind? Is there anybody in here who's a Christian who's not going to change their mind? Is there somebody in here who's going to say, you know what, I'm going for God no matter what, no matter how long it takes, until he comes back? I have people say, I'm quitting this, I'm quitting that, I'm quitting. You won't quit a job that you work at for 40 years. Everybody there hates you and you hate everybody else. But praise God, church, one time, my feelings got hurt. I ain't coming back. Man, get some strength about you. Lean in on God. Come back and show out and say, devil, you are a liar. I'll be back next Sunday, matter of fact. I'm preaching to somebody. Some of y'all are about that close to walking out. I'm going to quit. That's what all 2020 and 2021 was about, is trying to get you to quit.
Praise God, I ain't going to quit on God. God's the only thing in my life that I know that I ain't quitting. That's the best thing I got. Amen. Them four, you see them, they picked him up and they walking. I wonder if one of them just happened to be a denominational guy. I wonder if one of them was a Baptist guy and one of them was a Methodist guy and maybe one of them was a Church of God guy. Amen. And I could just imagine. Amen. You see that guy? Do y'all remember before you got in church, before you got Jesus? You kind of didn't understand it all. You know, you knew that you didn't just, you knew kind of how to act, you know what I'm saying? But he's laying on that bed. He's looking up at these guys. And could you imagine if one of them was holding the corner? He said, "Hey, listen, man, when you get well, when we get down here, I got this black Bible that I want you to have. It's a good one." Some of y'all got mad at me for saying that. Go ahead, meet me after church. I'll talk with you. Here, you need this Bible right here, brother. It's the only one that matters, okay? All right? Can you see him sitting there on that bed going, "Huh? What? I don't really understand what you're talking about because that's a spiritual book and I'm spiritually dead. Why are you talking to me about a book that I can't even read yet?" Yeah, okay. I see some of y'all are skeptical. You're going to be, "Oh, let me check. I don't know if I'm going to come back." Fair. One of them lean over, "You know, today, we should have got you right after we get you up, get you right, I got you a suit of clothes. Perfect tie. It's got a stack of Bibles with every book of the Bible in it. Why? And we're going to part your hair. Not the Church of God way. We're going to part it the Baptist way." Huh? What are you talking about? I'm a hot mess. I'm just glad I'm breathing. If God can't take me the way I am, why am I worried about the way I'm clothed? One of them leaned back on the back and said, "Now, when we get there, now if you get saved, we're going to baptize you. We're going to baptize you in the name of Jesus." Huh? What are you talking about? "Well, it ain't real baptism unless we baptize you in the name of Jesus." What are you talking about? I'm dying here. And the last one, "Well, we don't even believe in baptism. We're just going to sprinkle you." Amen? Aren't you glad that nobody done that? You know what they all probably did? Is what we all should do. And any denomination that believes in Jesus Christ and Him as Lord is all probably all saying, "Hey, we'll get you to Jesus. And when He heals you and when He saves you, you'll figure out the rest." Because guess what? God is good. And if He can heal you and He can save you, He can help you figure out what you need to do next. I'm not the cleaner upper and maker. I'm not the one who gets, it ain't my job to fix you. It ain't my God to heal you. It ain't my job to put something in your hand. You know what it is? It's my job to hold up one corner of the bed and walk you to Jesus. We'll get you to Jesus, son. I don't know what He's going to do. Hey, wouldn't it be really cool if we'll just be real honest? I don't know what God's going to do in your life. We got a generation coming up behind us. Man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with them. Because you look in the same family. There was Zechariah, there was John the Baptist, and there was Jesus in the same family. Could you? Oh, man, y'all, I'm going to preach all day long. Watch this. Just buckle up. Watch this right here. Watch. Zechariah, I guarantee you, I got a son, and it seems like God's got a calling on him. I guarantee you, every day they went out there, muffler, wimpler, crisping pins. That's the outfit for the preachers back in the day. Every day he would go in there and say, "Hey, Elizabeth, I laid John out the outfit for church." Oh, yeah? What is it? Mufflers, wimplers, crisping pins. It's got the 12 tribe jewels right up there on the front. Boy, he's going to look sharp as a daisy. John would come walking in there, hair frizzed out. Wearing a leather girdle. To get you some of that. Let Scott show up in here next Sunday doing worship in a leather girdle. Amen? Some of y'all know he would. And Denise just looked at him and said, "Don't." The challenge, no, it was, okay, I've seen it. Our voice is right here. But guess what else? He's coming to the living room. Well, guess what he's doing? Gary, I don't even know what this is all about, but he's taking out wild honey and dipping her and eating locusts. I wonder if Zechariah says, "Son, I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I know it's good. Just keep doing what you're doing. Then all of a sudden Jesus comes along and John the Baptist said, there's one greater than me coming. Amen. They'd say, are you him? And he'd say, no. He'd listen, I'm not even worthy to latch his shoes. I'm not even worthy to latch his shoes. Amen. And you know what he said? Was he going to do the same ministry you do? No, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to decrease. And he's going to increase. The thing that I couldn't finish, he's going to finish. The ministry don't got to look the same. The church don't have to look the same. We all just have to have the same, which is Jesus. Amen? I love when they get there. Amen? They walk. They take him born at the four. They're carrying him to the door. Watch this. Verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy. No, did I jump ahead? Yes, I did. Go forward. Back to verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, they lay down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when they could not come nigh to the press, they came to the front door. I hope this ain't our church. Jesus up our preaching. Could you imagine? I hope this ain't us. Somebody cracked the door open. Well, you won't. We got a friend here. He's got the palsy. We need to see Jesus. I know. I kind of got it, caught a glimpse of him. Can we get in? They turned around and looked in this audience. There's no room. Wait a minute. The broken? The one who's broken down the worst? The one who needs him the worst? No, we ain't got no room. There was religious elites in there who didn't even like Jesus and wouldn't give up their seat. There were people in there who loved Jesus and heard his messages for years and wouldn't give up their seat. Maybe I'll come back next week. Maybe he'll be here. Maybe, wait a minute. Jesus might not be in Capernaum next week. Our friend might not even be here next week. Some of y'all think, y'all look at people and you kind of give them, they'll be good. I'll tell them about Jesus some other time. I'll take them to Jesus some other time. I'll get them to Jesus some other time. I'll talk to them about another time. You don't even know. Amen. They might be dying in a week. They might be dying in 2 weeks. You might be the last person. Amen? I love these guys. Man, it's Peter's house. Peter's different. Amen? Y'all know about Peter? Peter's that guy who's sitting on the boat with all the other apostles and disciples, and he looks at him, and that's when he's in the middle of the storm. See, Jesus always met Peter in a boat. Y'all go back and study it. After he got over his fear and his anxiety, he said, hey, Jesus, I see you out there. Can I come out there with you? All the other disciples, all 11 of them, sitting there going, are you crazy? You need to stay in the boat. It's safe. Some of y'all won't do anything for Jesus because the other people around you are trying to get you to settle like they are. They just want you to sit calmly by. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your friends. Whoever it is, just don't get radical for Jesus. You can have him, go to school. You can have him, have a good job. You can have him, good marriage. Don't get crazy with him. You ain't never going to walk on the water either. You ain't never going to do nothing great. Sitting in the boat, he's like, hey, Jesus, can I come out there? And they're all like, you crazy, don't do it. I know Thomas. Well, they go, we're going to go out there and drown, you idiot. And then somebody maybe didn't like you. Maybe Judas, go ahead, you know. Not everybody in church likes you, and that's okay. Puts one foot out. Puts another foot out, and he's standing. He's standing. I hope he did something like this. I hope he looked back at the boat and went, ha-ha! Probably didn't. It's not biblical. He'd probably start sinking right away. But he takes a step for Jesus and another step for Jesus, and he's walking. He's walking on the thing that just a few minutes prior to this was his biggest fear of death. He's walking on the thing that was going to destroy all of them. He was walking on the thing that he had no control over. He's walking on the thing that Jesus was walking on to show them that he had authority over it. But now he's walking on the same thing that he has authority over. There's some people sitting in this very room. You're walking on the thing that was going to kill you. And you've got authority over it. And it was cool when Jesus had authority over it. But it's way cooler when you get authority over it. When you're the one standing. You're still looking at God, who's the source of the power to make you stand, but you're standing on the thing that everybody else said, that's going to kill you. Nobody gets off meth. Nobody gets out of alcohol. Nobody in this family makes it through cancer. Nobody. You say, I'm still standing. I wish somebody would stand up. I'm still standing this morning. Praise God. Ain't no preachers in your lineage. Ain't no preachers in your family. Ain't nobody doing this. I'm still standing. Amen. Your family's got a heritage of falling apart. There ain't nobody stays married 20 years. There ain't nobody raises their kids. I'm still standing. We're going to stand through it. Whew. Man, I don't know about you, but some of y'all need to get a hold of God this morning. Watch this right here. They uncover the roof. Peter loved these guys because he starts tearing the roof apart. And Peter looks up there and goes, that's a lot of damage. These guys are crazy. But I like them. But I like them. They're radical faith. I can't wait to see what the next generation does. Says, well, you ain't going to let us in the back door. We'll just come through the roof. Amen? This is spiritual too. There's spiritual ceilings that we need to break through. We've always done it this way. We always just come through the back door. And when it's full, it's over. Not at Flat Top Church, baby. Because guess what? When we're full, we're coming in other ways. I can't wait till somebody says, you know what? I got a little different ministry in mind. I'm going to reach a whole group of people that ain't been reached yet. And it won't look right. It won't look normal. It won't look the same. But guess what? When you peel back all the obstacles, guess who's standing there? It's Jesus. See, they didn't come in the same way everybody else came in, but they got a direct line to who? Jesus. Could you imagine that roof starts falling in and out? I know the religious elite. I know the people who love the building more than they love God went like this. That's going to cost a lot of money, and we ain't ever going to get over that. But Jesus was watching them the whole time. And ain't it amazing? The more stuff they tore apart, the more they seen Jesus. Some of y'all hit an obstacle sometimes, and it hurts your knees, your fingers, your attitude, your it hurts your feelings. But you forgot why you was digging in the first place. You was trying to get to Jesus. When you get to him, it changes. Amen? Watch this, verse 5, when Jesus saw. If you get into a place where you can see Jesus, Jesus can see you. We make this up. We think it's all about us. All of a sudden, God said, I was wanting you to get in that way. You know, you ever thought about that? I met Jesus. I found Jesus. You ever said that? I found Jesus. You didn't find Jesus. He was funneling you his way the whole time. He's the one that gave you the idea. He's the one that thought that radical thought. He's the one that placed it in your heart. Amen? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see him, they break him down, they start lowering him down. Can you see him? This is crazy. It's always crazy too. That last part, I'm preaching right here, y'all hear me. That last part, right before you get him to Jesus, is usually the hardest part. Amen? That's the biggest obstacle. They'll come up with every reason not to get lowered down to Christ. Don't get lowered down. I don't want to go down. I don't want to. You listen, you're going down to come up. Amen? So they're coming unto you. This is radical, man. Don't just pull me back up. I'll just come back next week. Could you imagine? We brought you too far. You coming to Jesus. Some of y'all need to make up your mind about your boys, your daughters, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife. You just keep lowering. If you'll keep lowering them, praise God, it'll happen. Amen? You just keep taking them to Jesus. All of a sudden, he's flush on the ground before Jesus. He said, son, thy sins, look at this, thy sins be forgiven thee. They thought his biggest problem was palsy. He's laying there because your sins are forgiven. He wants to raise his hand. He can't. It's like, praise God. I'm saved. I got my biggest problem took care of. I'd run a lap, but I can't. I'd shout, but I probably can't. I still got the palsy. God, how many of you still got some stuff going on in your life, but you got Jesus too? Amen? Oh, never mind. I got Jesus in me, but I still got some issues. Amen? God's still working things out on me. Amen? I'm a work in progress, and when God gets through with me, we'll be walking into glory. Amen? Watch this right here. Thy sins be forgiven. Verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? He's sitting in their heart, man. Hey, was somebody in their heart going there, man, who's he think he is? Who in the world does he think he is? God's cool, though. And let me, here's a doctrinal thing for you. God don't listen to your mouth. He listens to your heart. Some of y'all can say things out of here. It sounds right, but he's listening to this thing. Amen? He hears some of you say, well, I don't like this. I'm about to get out of here. I don't like it. He hears it. Amen? Jesus wastes time. He's in there listening. Why? Who's this man think he is? And God here in their heart. I love this. God shows out sometimes. Amen? I hope he shows out in here today. What's this right here? Verse 7. Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin? Verse 8. And immediately. When? Immediately. God says, okay. When Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say to thee, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Woo! I got a sick of the palsy. He said, get up. No therapy. No, nothing. Just got up. God said, since you don't believe in who I am, I'm going to show you. Son, get up. He just gets up. And all of a sudden, leans down and gets the bed that used to be carrying him. He's now carrying it. I love to tell the story. Amen? Remember when he sang that? I love that. I was sitting there thinking the whole time, I love the story. I love for you to hear the story, but me telling the story is not really all about you. A lot of times it just reminds me of how we got here. That's the title of this message. How did we get here? He's now standing up in front of the church. A minute ago, he couldn't even get out of his bed. A minute ago, he couldn't get in the church. A minute ago, he wasn't saved. Now he's standing somewhere that he never thought he could stand. Carrying something that he never thought he could carry. I often wonder when I read this story, I'm like, why did God do that for him? Because you know what? That's a good conversation piece. Why do you got that bed? Well, I'm glad you asked. This bed right here used to be my worst nightmare. It gave me sickness and pain and sores, and it gave me a stigma. It became my identity. It became some other people's identity who were taking care of me. But I met a man named Jesus. I'm preaching better than y'all letting on right here. I met a man named Jesus, and he told me to carry this. And I'm telling you the story because I want you to get what I got. But I also like to carry it to remind myself of how low I used to be. Amen? Some people say, you don't need to bring up your past. You don't need to talk about who you were. You don't need to bring that. I'm not bringing it up to condemn myself. I'm bringing it up to remind me of where I used to be and where I am today. I'm with God today. But praise God, this is who I am if God ain't with me. And this is what God added to it for me. He said, What are those four markings on the edges? Because you can't carry somebody proper unless you make a mess. Amen? Maybe there was a hand mark on one corner and another hand mark on another corner and another hand mark on another corner and another hand mark on another corner. He said, see, these four radical friends of mine, they got together. And they loved me when I was unlovable too. And they carried me when I was uncarable too. See, I got four people on each corner. I had a great grandmother on one corner, amen? Who they used to say everybody would walk a mile around our grandmother's house because she would be out in the front yard shouting the glory and praying and shouting about Jesus. And all the boys and men would walk around because they said if she ever caught you in the yard, she'd grab you and pray over you. So they was all afraid of her. And about three or four of them turned out to be preachers, and they was all afraid of the woman at night in an old section home with all the windows up because they didn't have no air conditioner. and had no air conditioner fans, and they could hear throughout the night saying, God's going to do something in my family. It's going to be amazing, and I'm going to praise him no matter what. And God heard it. And I had a stepmom on one corner of the bed who said, I want a husband, and I want some sons who are going to love Jesus. And then I had a daddy who went around every church in East Tennessee and said, remember my boys. Amen. I had people who prayed over my life, who carried the bed, who carried me to Jesus and never let me down. And I'm sitting there thinking, thank God that they never let me down. See those handprints in my life? Those are the people who didn't let me down. If you had a mama who loved you, a daddy who loved you, a grandmother who loved you, somebody who wouldn't let you down, a friend who calls you, a friend who prays over you, a sister who prays over you, a wife who prays over you, a husband that prays for you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning because somebody kept carrying you when you couldn't even carry yourself. And I loved it when the Pharisee, come on, Scott, the Pharisees, let's all stand. The Pharisee said, we've never seen it on this fashion before. That's very cool language. We have never seen it on this fashion before. I like saying it. But that's not how we talk here. I say it like this. We've never seen it like this before. We've never seen it like this before. Has anybody since you been telling people that you are a born-again Christian ever said, we've never seen him, we've never seen her like this before? They're different. They're changed. They're living their life for Jesus. Has that ever been said to you or about you? If not, there's two prayers. God, put your spirit in me, save me, forgive me of my sin. And the next prayer is, if you have already, God, give me the desire to lift you up and carry you. Let me take my bed that I was carrying, where I was paralyzed and palsied of my spiritual sin. Let me break that out of the closet or wherever I've hidden my testimony, and let me carry it in this world. Some of y'all need to get your story back, not just for the world, for you. Sing. If God spoke to your heart, come.